This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It is Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Look, I was mentally prepared, and I think we all were for the last week or two at least, that the postseason was not going to be a thing for the 2025 Kansas City Chiefs. Like, we were already all there. Yeah, and you were expecting that on Sunday there was a real chance it would officially be over for 2025. I was mentally there. I think you were as well. And a lot of you listening.
Yes.
What I was not ready for, mentally prepared for, was the best quarterback in Chiefs history to have a season-ending ACL injury that, of course, carries into the offseason, that carries in potentially to next season in a 9 to 12 month type of recovery with a torn ACL, the worst possible image if you are a Chiefs fan that you could ever see, Patrick Mahomes grabbing his knee. And I know we've had scares in the past.
Ones that I thought were serious injuries even.
This one, though, immediately felt a little different. And we're going to talk about it, of course, throughout the entire show today. Andy Reid's going to speak exclusively at noon. But yeah, man, I mean, there's another, it flat out freaking sucks. It does. And I know people outside of Kansas City, nobody's going to feel sorry for Chiefs fans or anything like that. But it sucks to end this, like to come crashing down like this.
And if you're a fan of some other team, I would say this show's never done this. Resist the urge to mock an injury. And that's always the stunning part. It's like the people who like come out of the woodworks to celebrate an awful moment.
Yeah.
For really any player or any team or any of these other things. So I'm always like kind of stunned by that. Now, I know the internet can be a cesspool, so I get it. But it was hard in the what you're talking about sense. And you're right. I was mad at the team for the longest time. Like, how are you going to blow this season? Where did all the roster building go wrong? Why does every game look the same? Right? You have control, then you start blowing it, then you fall apart. It all just kind of felt like, okay, deja vu, whatever. They're going to get eliminated from the playoffs, and so be it. And then to have Patrick Mahomes, and obviously he talked about it on social media, he'd sent out the one post.
Yep.
Saying, don't know why it'd have to happen, I'll come back stronger. Devastating. I mean, genuinely devastating moment that is going to invite a lot of questions for how far out things look or advance or who's where. It just like, it changes so much of kind of our overview from it and where they are. But yeah, I mean, the first offending, it just sucks for the person. I feel bad for any player who suffers a serious injury. Felt bad for Micah Parsons yesterday and Davante Adams and all these other guys who had these similar injuries come up that ended their season. It always just feels, there's no way to feel good about it.
Yeah.
It just always feels crappy.
It sucks. There's no other way to put it. I would say too, and I'm sure you probably did the same thing, like in a lot of Chiefs fans, when an injury like this happens, it's one thing, look, this, we're going to get to just the season as a whole in a second, and of course officially being eliminated, but the Mahomes injury has more than just this year implications. And they have been able, during this 7-plus year run, whether we're talking about Mahomes or anybody else, the reason, a lot of reasons why the run has continued, but they have been able to avoid the catastrophic injury to one of their pillars, Chris Jones or Kelce or McDuffie or Patrick Mahomes. They've had injuries. Like Chris Jones has missed a game or two. Travis Kelce was injured a couple years ago to open up the season. You know, Patrick Mahomes has had scares. We all know way back when, the dislocated kneecap thing, what we all thought the season was over then. This is the first time, and I know they were going to miss the playoffs whether Mahomes tore his ACL or not, but the fact that this happened, the Chiefs fan that is looking at it today, I think you can step back and still appreciate like the fact they were able to avoid this for so long. I'm not saying it's inevitable that every quarterback's going to tear an ACL. That's not what I'm saying. And I certainly don't hope that's the case for any of the other quarterbacks in the league. But my point
Major
is
injuries
typically
happen.
Across, if you're going to play for 15 years and he's only played eight, but if you're going to end up playing for 15 years, hopefully, if you're Patrick Mahomes in this league, we all know the Tom Brady comparisons that he's compared to constantly. We all know his history with the ACL injury as well. You typically are going to not make it through your entire career without missing more than just a game or two, you know?
Yeah, Peyton Manning's had lost seasons. Yeah. Tom Brady's had lost seasons. It's not an uncommon occurrence. It's not something that no one has ever dealt with before. These things do happen and have consistently happened over the course of the NFL league history and are going to continue to happen because now there's an additional football game. You don't think that that's going to get mentioned in a league office today? As multiple players across the league all lost their season? It doesn't matter. Those things are going to happen anyway. We know that whether it's 16 games or 14 games or 12, people are going to be lost to season-long injuries. But yes, almost every single player in the NFL at some point will have to go through this. I think the most surprising thing is that Chris Jones really hasn't. Patrick Mahomes had made it till year 9 to do it, and Travis Kelce's never felt like he did gold. Because it was the first year of his entire NFL career, but even he had to go through that injury at some point in some stage of his career. So these things do happen, but God, it doesn't make it like when you watch it, you're just like, oh no. And like you said, you knew immediately, towel over the head, being helped off the field.
Oh, the video of him
being helped
help
down the tunnel.
Was the end right there. And I know Andy after the game at the time said, doesn't look good. Wait for an MRI. Whenever, you know, they do the ACL test on the bench there before. It doesn't mean that's definitive, but they had a good idea. He had a good idea. I think everybody did, unfortunately, when that press conference began, that we were going to get the news, which we got later in the evening from the Chiefs directly, that he, in fact, tore his ACL. Now, coming up at 11, we are going to 11:10 or so, 11:10, we will have Aaron Borgman join us. He has been, in the past, a NFL trainer for the Chiefs and the Eagles for about 12 years. He now is with a rehab facility here in Kansas City as well. Want to get his expertise on the specifics. We obviously would be speculating. That's what part of our job.
Sure.
All right. But we'll ask him, what's a realistic timeline? How long till, you know, frankly, Mahomes is Mahomes again? Because I think it's one thing to just come back from the injury, but when does the player feel comfortable about the knee again?
When does the player feel like
they can play like they did before? Injury re-risk, all that kind of stuff. The questions that a lot of you have on the text line, we'll get to that at 11:10 when Aaron Borgman, former Chiefs and Eagles trainer, joins us.
Look, it's tough because I don't think there's any world in which you can assume that there's a chance he is ready before the beginning of the season. Most optimistic timeline, right, is week one. Somehow Patrick Mahomes,
I think it's in play,
steps out for an NFL game. It's not out of the question. Is it a long shot at this point? Yeah, I would kind of think so. And again, we'll talk to Borgman about it coming up here in just a little bit. But I mean, it is the long shot probability of this. But when, like, it just, it's so hard because his injury is going to shape an entirety of how you look at the offseason. And because they have older players, Chris Jones, Travis Kelce, their coach is older, Andy Reid.
Yes.
If by any chance, and I'm not writing off 2026 yet, and we can talk more about that later in the show. I'm not just saying, let's just erase 2026, and because he's coming back from the injury, we're not going to talk about it, and that's not a thing that's in play, and all this other stuff. I'm not saying write it off. But because of the age of some of the players, some of the coaching, including Andy, it's like if it turned into a lost year, ooh, then you got to look at yourself in the mirror and ask some even bigger questions. Look, we don't think Travis is going to play next year anyway, but it's tough to kind of like parse out those things, figure it out. I think people, like a quarterback of Patrick Mahomes can come back from an injury like this and still be Patrick Mahomes. The question is how long, like you said, until he feels that way.
Yeah, I think the questions, if you're Brett Veach, just magnified. That's what it is. If you thought there was five or six questions, now there's 20 different questions. If you thought there was a few massive decisions to make, there are just so many more based off of this injury. And they probably don't know the timeline for sure yet either. I mean, I think we'll ask Aaron about this, but you know, depending on, you got to wait till the surgery happens. When does the surgery happen? Is it happening in a week? Is it happening in January? Like, these are questions we don't have the answers to yet. That will determine what is realistic timeline wise as well. And then just how you feel about the roster. And we were already talking last week that they will have some tough decisions to make. What's the future hold for Trent McDuffie? He's due for an extension. Is he somebody that you listen to trade calls on? We both think the answer is yes to that. Does this change that for those of you who are on the fence? Chris Jones, we were looking at the money. Like, the money is the money at this point, but would they restructure? Now do you just say, hey, let's just eat the damn money and roll it out, because 2026 maybe isn't going to be that year. I'm with you to where when Patrick Mahomes returns next season, whether it's week one or week eight, it is not a complete punt on 2026. But if we're talking the bigger picture stuff, which is what we've got accustomed to in Kansas City, Cody, which is contending for Super Bowls and all that, I really don't see that path in 2026 as far as being a Super Bowl contender. I don't.
Not unless they have a perfect offseason, which is a pretty impossible thing to imagine. Like, I get you. I wouldn't put it at 0%. Neither would you. You almost never put anything at 0%. It's not a safe way to operate. But is it a long shot now? Yeah.
Like, I think next year is a serious retool. Like, does this mean they're a 4-win team next year? No. But does it mean they're competing atop the AFC? No. Like, I thought that before the Mahomes injury, we were just discussing with where the roster is at and some of the tough decisions, a chance to get better from 2027 and beyond. Now, that doesn't mean that you want your quarterback to go down to an ACL injury and force you to make certain decisions. Do I think that this might force them to make some decisions
look
they weren't wanting to make? Yeah, I do think it might even force the Chiefs to look at how this season went more so than they already were. I told you my biggest fear was that they would just convince themselves that they were, oh, we were so close, a player or two here and there, and we, no, you're not. No, you weren't in 2026. Maybe in 2025, I'm sorry. Maybe this will force them to do that, to look at some of these issues a little bit differently. But you're correct. I think they have to sit down also with players like Travis Kelce the rest of this season, Cody. There's some milestones for him individually that he is on the verge of hitting, you know, number two on the tight end list, things like that. How do you handle his play the final 3 weeks of the season with Gardner Minshew as your quarterback? If you know for sure and he, you know, that he's done at the end of this year, well, then you continue to play him and force feed him down the stretch.
Sure.
Otherwise, how do you handle a player like him and some other veterans? I know we're going to talk later. So other guys that are banged up, you know, how do you approach sitting them or not sitting them the rest of the way?
Well, and yeah, like, look, if I were the Chiefs, Breshard Smith would get 20 carries a game.
Right.
Like, I'd sure as hell find out about him. Like, Jalen Royal's ass would be on the field the next three games for me.
Yep.
He'd be getting some work in with Gardner Minshew. I'd be splitting some snaps.
Yeah, Noel Williams should be playing a lot more. All those kind of things, for sure.
And look, and I see the text line. They're saying, hey, Burrow was in the Super Bowl literally after tearing everything in his leg. It's not that big of a long shot. People are saying, why are we pretending? Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady and Burrow all came back week one. Now, look, I'll say the timing of those injuries are not the same. Tom Brady got hurt in week one, I think it was.
Burrow was week 11.
There's just a real difference in time.
That's almost a month difference, though. I mean, that's not
Mahomes will play next year.
And he will play well. I'm not saying he will be a good quarterback.
But week one is very much in doubt. It's not, as you said, it's not 0%, but it's very much in doubt.
Differently. Yeah, I would be concerned about, too, regarding the injury is, and I'm sure we can ask Aaron about it, is what the chances are that he tears it again or that he tears the other one because of overcompensation. That's what I would be worried about more than anything else. Not necessarily, like, I think he'll be able to throw the ball the same as he was before, but it's just, does your mobility get limited to the point where you're overcompensating when you throw, like, all of the little things that potentially could cause other injuries?
Look, he's a mobile quarterback, but I think he's, in a weird way, a feel mobile quarterback. It's not just like raw, unfiltered athleticism. Yeah. I think he's got an excellent feel for when to run, how to run, and do those things. I don't think that goes away other than the first couple of times you run and you're fearful of what your health does. And then it's the rest of this, which is, I don't want to lose sight of, this injury has nothing to do with it. It was a lost season anyway. They blew it this year.
Absolutely.
This season was a complete failure long before Patrick Mahomes got hurt, because I'll be honest, I don't think if he stays healthy, they're still winning that game. They were falling apart towards the end anyway. And in retrospect, so many missteps this entire year that led to this, because part of the reason he got hurt is because they had devastating offensive line injuries and offensive linemen who did not perform up to standard. Juwan Taylor had a really bad year. He had a bad year. And Simmons was gone for a huge chunk of the year before he suffered his own injury and then, of course, wasn't available in this game. But it leads back to the offseason and the construction of the offense, and they thought they had enough weapons, and they didn't. And so didn't help that Rashee Rice got himself suspended for 6 games and Xavier Worthy took a step back. And defensively, they're way worse than they were last year. Either guys regressed or the scheme got predictable. And probably, look, some combination, and I think it's just talent.
Cody, you've lifted off 7 things already. I mean, that's how you have a disastrous season like the Chiefs have had. And yes, with their standards, I don't care whether they end up with the 6 wins or they end up getting to 9 wins. It doesn't matter. That this was a disastrous 2025 campaign for Kansas City when you look at what they've been able to accomplish. And I understand, like, we've hinted at this for really the last 3 months, that they have played more games than anybody. All that stuff is true. Like, nobody's suggesting that doesn't have an impact. They've played 81 games the last 4 years, and that is by far more than anybody else in the NFL. And so you're going to be worn out, and the core is worn out. All of that can be the case. And they're not the first team to go be a runner-up in the Super Bowl and miss the playoffs, but I will tell you, in the last 15 years, they're the third. That's it. They're just the third team that was a runner-up at a Super Bowl, and the next year they missed the postseason.
Eagles,
Patrick Mahomes, the Eagles were in the wild card. The last one, the 2024 49ers went 6-11, missed the playoffs after losing to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. The 49ers in 2020 went 6-10, missed the playoffs. And then the Rams missed the playoffs. I'm sorry, did I say four? There's been the 2016 Panthers, runner-up, missed playoffs. 2019 Rams, runner-up, missed the playoffs. 2020 Niners, 2024 Niners, and now the 2025 Chiefs.
The Niners have been a weird mix in that, because they just seemingly are good every other year, no matter what happens in their circumstances, and so it just seems like this. But no, I mean, at this point, and unfortunately for the Chiefs, the Titans probably aren't bad enough.
Well, they
Raiders
should.
Probably aren't bad enough. I
hope they lose all three, of course.
I do too. They don't have to play that way.
They won't. That's not how they operate. Yeah.
I understand how sports work, but at this point, I'm not rooting for them to win any football games the rest of the way.
No, the best thing for them is to lose out. And yeah, that's not how Andy will operate. That's not how the organization will operate. But truth be told, draft pick wise, now that you're officially eliminated, now that your starting quarterback is out for the season, of course that's better for the long-term future of the Kansas City Chiefs is to finish with 6 wins, not 8 or 9. Yes.
What do you think the single biggest misstep was by the Chiefs this season? Like, and I understand it is a culmination. You don't have this kind of season, like you said, unless a lot of things go wrong. But if you could, like, reverse one, you know, like, what is the one biggest misstep that led them to be where they are? Because it's not drafting Simmons, even though he was gone for part of the season. Like, I got to go back 3 years in the signing of Juwan Taylor. What the hell would their offensive line be without at least one somewhat capable body? Like, the more and more.
I think the first reaction to a lot of people listening would, and I know what the first reaction is. I tend to disagree that it's the one thing you would change. The first reaction, remember, coming off 3 straight Super Bowls, keep that in mind here. Because the first reaction, people are going to say that they kept the coaching staff together, that they didn't fire Matt Nagy. That's the reaction. Somebody is shouting that in their car right now. Somebody is shouting that in their car, that they got too comfortable. And while I think that is absolutely,
I can agree with that sentiment in a way.
I think that's the end game here. But I think if we're being realistic, after the Super Bowl last year, no organization, after going to 3 straight, none, are going to sit there and say, all right, fire our OC, fire our special teams coordinator. Like, that's just not, no. Nobody was going to ever do that. Now, here we go, and we advance to December of a failed 2025 season. I think we have all brought up that the offense is stale. Who's that? Who's the blame fall there? The low-hanging fruit is fire your OC.
Yeah.
The reality is, whose offense is it?
Andy's.
He's not going anywhere.
What's
so? Yeah. How do you fix that moving forward?
I you know, and I see answers over on the text line. Somebody jokingly say when they
someone says Chris Jones contract. That was not this past offseason, though.
But
if you want to go back and mention that's a 2 year ago thing. You're asking me what was the biggest misstep this past offseason. You know, obviously not addressing the defensive line in a stronger way.
I genuinely think at this point, if you made me pinpoint the biggest reason, it is the design of the offense in the offseason. It was abysmal. And here's where I think it's not just Andy Reid I'm placing this at the foot of. It is, they genuinely thought, these are connected, they genuinely thought, we'll just get Rashee Rice back and it's fine. Guys, it's fine. Yeah. Oh, it's totally fine. The offense we designed last year, all the players we had, Hollywood and Worthy and Rice, it was all a great plan, guys. We're geniuses. It was all going to work. This is a kick-ass plan, and we're going to kick ass this year. And they went into the season saying, we can be exactly the same as the year before, but now we'll get Rice back, and it's all fine. And then they started operating the offense, and you're like, nope.
By the way,
it's not. It wasn't a good design, and it was too predictable, and it was too easy to design, and they're going to have to like make real changes about the function of their offense in the offseason.
Yeah, the wide receiver group was not nearly as good as we all thought, plain and simple. The wide receiver group was not nearly as good. And in so much of it, I keep using the word stale. I think that's the only way I can describe the offense.
I think that's probably fair.
It's stale, and it's going to take a future Hall of Fame coach, one of the greatest coaches of all time, to be willing to either have new voices or just listen more, or him himself adapt. He's the guy throughout his entire coaching career, Cody, that has typically adapted better than anybody else. Like that's why he's been so successful. He's been so great at adapting, but here we are in the final, I don't know, whether it's 2 years of his career or five more years. I have no idea how much longer he's going to coach. Oh, all yeah. I know is that adaptability.
This year was bad.
They did not. They did not adapt. And, you know, nobody is saying Brett Veach is immune to what happened. I think you and I have brought up 100 times now, back the day they brought back Kareem Hunt. That day we worried that they were not going to focus on running back. Of course, that would be very high on the list. Now, do I think that they would have four more wins if they had a star running back? Not necessarily. They got plenty of other issues. Would it have helped? They have to be more explosive in the backfield. Have to be more explosive. You watch these teams that are contenders. Go through the AFC right now. Seriously. Like, all right, number one seed is who? Denver Broncos
okay. And the Patriots.
They signed J.K. Dobbins. Now, he's hurt, but for a while, he looked pretty damn good. They drafted R.J. Harvey. I don't know about you guys. Now, he got hurt again yesterday. He's been pretty effective for them. You go, okay, then the number two seed is Patriots. Who? The New England Patriots. Travion Henderson. He looks pretty explosive. Looks pretty explosive to me.
Yeah.
The three seed, the Jags.
ETN was a former top 10 pick.
Yeah, pretty explosive player when he wants to be. He was yesterday.
Steelers would be the one.
And that's just the typical Mike Tomlin Steelers. How the hell are they figuring this out? They play tonight.
Five seed
Buffalo. James Cook, pretty damn explosive.
Chargers drafted Amari
six
Hampton.
Six seed Amari Hampton. They signed Najee Harris. They found this Vidal kid, to their credit, has been pretty darn good.
Bills, James Cook, one of the top two backs.
Yeah, I mentioned him already. Yep. And then the Texans. That's the one exception to the rule. Woody Marks has turned out to be decent, but I wouldn't call their backfield
explosive.
They're
just led different than all the other teams because they have the most dominant.
But we could do the exact same exercise on the NFC side. Cody, number one seed for
Kyron Williams.
And Blake Corum. Good 1-2 punch. The two seed.
Bears.
The Bears. Manongai, rookie. And DeAndre Swift, three seed Eagles. Okay, you're not going to find a Saquon, but explosive running back. Four seed in the NFC. Bucks, they lost Bucky Irving. He's explosive, but he's back. And who else have they had? Rashard White, Sean Tucker. Pretty good combination there. They invested in running back.
Seattle and San Francisco. No, I know.
Charbonnet.
And then if you look at the bad teams, you're like, do they even have a running back who you could name? Like, other than Ashton Jeanty for the Raiders, who's been a big disappointment. The rest of them have a bunch of, you know, no name or not very good running backs. And yeah, they did not choose explosiveness in the offseason, and we mentioned that going into the draft. I genuinely think they looked at a team that was one win away from winning their third consecutive Super Bowl, and they said, we're explosive enough just as long as Rashee Rice is a member of this team, and they were wrong. They were wrong.
Yeah.
They were wrong to identify their offense that way, and more frustrating, they just thought they could run the same offense, right? Oh, we can just do the same thing, and this time it'll look different because of the talent we had around us. Look, a lot of things. It wasn't just that. Because, again, I think the defense taking a 5-team drop, 7-team, 10-team drop in where I thought they would have ranked amongst the best defense in the NFL hurt them. They couldn't get off the field at 3rd and 10. They had problems. They saw some aging in there. They had some bad linebacker play. Like, there's some things that certainly set them back. But it's just, I keep going back to how they just handled the offseason. They were like, and again, you and I, in a weird way, I'm not even saying I would have been bigger than that or better than that. Okay. If my team had gone to three straight Super Bowls and won two of them,
who's changing then? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that that I can admit that it would have been hard for me to look at myself in the mirror and be like, well, I better really tighten up the ship now. From what? Going to five of the last six Super Bowls? That's tough. That's tough. And we'll look back at this run here in just a few minutes and kind of get a sense of everything they've accomplished. But yeah, there were several missteps.
I think it's a mix of both, but because you can look at the room and be like, well, the room isn't good enough. But they were just as poorly productive as they were last year when, to your point, Cody, Rashee Rice was out and Xavier Worthy was a rookie. Is it the personnel or is it the scheme is just not the same?
Well, so you said it's gotten stale. Yeah.
I wonder if it's a mix of both or if it's maybe it's more of the scheme getting stale than it is the talent, just because it's the offense has looked the exact same when Travis was much better from a physical standpoint and better prepared for the season. Rashee Rice was fully healthy. Xavier Worthy was healthy. Hollywood Brown in the room. Like all of it was supposed to be better, but it was the exact same as last year. Is that the style or is that the actual personnel in the room?
Monday's football coverage presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on your success at Busey Bank. They've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at buseybank.com. We're just getting started on a Monday. Text line wide open, 913-586-7965. Let's look back at the last 8 years for a little bit here with Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs organization. And something that was mentioned time and time again during the broadcast that nobody was talking about all week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mom, I like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026.
Soccer practice every week.
Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner.
When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. And by the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation or innovators keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around. Not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Want to get to that next. All right, we're just getting started here on a Monday. 913-586-7965, Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Here in about 35 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Aaron Borgman, former Chiefs, Eagles, NFL trainer, to get a little expertise on timeline for an ACL. What's the re-injury risk? How long till maybe a player is their same old self? All of that kind of stuff. And also something we'll address here in a few minutes, which was not mentioned much during the week. Yes, Patrick Mahomes was on the injury report all week as a full participant with a knee injury, We've seen that happen time and time again throughout, you know, his career, or any player, right? Has they list them because they've got something. It's an NFL season. No player is fully healthy. So none of us really thought much of it. But now does it make us question that a bit more? So we'll get to that in a little bit. I think some of the texts have spoken to this already. I know last night just texting with some friends, and you have like the frustration and almost anger with the injury coupled with the way the season has gone. And then you step back and by no means, by the way, if you told me I had to make a bet on would Patrick Mahomes return to a Super Bowl ever again or not, I would totally bet that he does.
Yes.
I would not bet against him at all. That would be a foolish thing to do. But I also still step back for a little bit and I'm like, man, the 8 years, and selfishly, even for I speak for Cody on this, I'm sure too. Going to three Super Bowls, and you and I have seen them win three Super Bowls in person. You know, I stepped back a little bit last night. I was looking, I had my framed up.
You know, maybe appreciate
I had my framed up, you know, newspaper front pages, right, for each Super Bowl win, and there's Mahomes hoisting the Lombardi trophy in each one of the photos with Andy in one of them. And I stepped back, I'm like, this has been an insane 8 year run. Absolutely insane. A run that 99.9%. There's only one other fan base that can come close to it, and that's the Patriots.
Yep.
No other fan base knows what we've been able to experience. And certainly diehard, lifelong Chiefs fans, anybody that grew up in Kansas City, we all know there was a, what, 30-year drought winning a freaking playoff game to now...
Winning a playoff game.
Winning a single game, let alone going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we all know the success that Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid have brought this city, and it's changed people's lives. It's frankly, it's changed our jobs. And so I did step back. I don't know if you did last night. You said you checked out and did not watch the Sunday night game kind of the same way. Like you just needed to get away from it. And so
just
it has been an insane run. And I don't think the run is over for his entire career. I think it's over for a year or so till they retool. I don't have to remind everybody the gap that Tom Brady and the Patriots had before they won another ring or got back to it. So I'm no means saying it's definitively never again, but if it is never again, Cody, boy, oh boy, nobody else had a run like this in any NFL city.
No, it's so like I saw some of the, you know, Boston people. I would suggest again, stop trying to make Patrick Mahomes accomplish in 8 years what Tom Brady accomplished in 20. That's just not how the math works. From an 8 year run, it has been the best, maybe tied for, that's fine, tied for the greatest 8 year run in NFL history. From 18 to 25, they went to the AFC Championship game and lost in overtime, won the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, lost in the AFC Championship game again, won the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, and then, yeah, of course, this year missed the playoffs. Even when you add in the missed playoff element of it, which technically Tom Brady didn't this year, although he was hurt really early in the year, the season had nothing to do with him. Patrick Mahomes' team lost, missed the playoffs, and he was a part of the team.
That's true. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes still has not taken a snap while being eliminated for the postseason.
Yeah,
you're right.
Because he was hurt.
I know.
You know, he didn't take a snap or whatever version of it they want. Well, because they always make it seem like that, yeah, because Tom Brady was hurt. Like, by the way, that stat still applies to Patrick Mahomes. He did not take a snap, in which his team did not have a chance to make the playoffs.
His team could have still won. That's a coping stat, is what
it
that is.
But it's just like, and I don't need. Like, people are calling it, like, I saw Chargers fans be like, oh, we swept you. I'm like, don't care. And then they said, oh, ring culture, making excuses. I'm like, ring culture? So you have to know about ring culture for it to matter. The Chiefs are the epitome of a world-class organization. They are still, across all of sports, the most successful franchise in all of the major sports in all of the United States over the last 8 years. This has been a truly remarkable run, and I do want to appreciate it for just what it is. What Patrick Mahomes has accomplished, what Andy Reid has accomplished, what this team has accomplished. Because I think I understand, and we were already maybe there anyway, but now with the injury, I'm fully there, I'm all the way there, that I got to turn the page and remember this time as its own separate nostalgia incident, and then we will begin a new run.
Yeah, this current run is over. It's
and
clear.
Look, if you were on the fence, I think the injury probably cements that, right? But I mean, genuinely, we can all sit back and appreciate it, right? This has been, what a treat. Oh, come on, man, what a treat. You're watching your team in the Super Bowl every year? Your quarterback's winning MVPs. They're winning the game. I mean, it's insane. I understand there's been some hard ones. And this game's probably worse than some of the Super Bowl losses just because of the injury and missing the playoffs and everything else. But it's been a hell of a run. Someone says Steelers mid-75 to early 80s, just saying. Is that a Steelers fan? I'm just curious now.
Yeah, probably.
Are you a Steelers fan?
Somebody probably texting in as well.
Let me find You know, I'm willing to. I wasn't.
Well, no, you would. But the only comparison are the other great dynasties in the NFL. The Cowboys in the 90s, of course, would be the other. But my point is, nobody else really.
It's not surpassed. It could be matched.
Nobody else has been able to be in this particular spot.
72-79 for the Steelers. Lost conference title game. Lost the division round. Won Super Bowl. Lost conference title game. Lost division. Won Super Bowl. Sure, fine. That's a comparable era.
But
The next question is, can you do it again? But like, I'm not gonna. This is an era of football you will never forget in Kansas City. Like, it's not. And I do think that because it feels like a natural end.
Never forget. And you can think the Chiefs in 2+ years or whatever eventually are viewed as a contender again. That might be the case, and there's a real chance. But this exact run, that's never happening again. No. This exact run is never happening again. And that's not like a. I think it's a pretty recent take. Spoiler, not happening again. What we've witnessed with going to 3 straight Super Bowls, winning 3 rings in the first 7-8 years of Patrick Mahomes, that part of it, they're not. That's not getting replicated by Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs again. None of us are going to see that in our lifetime again. Does it mean they can't ever win a ring again? Of course, that doesn't mean that, but. I think they've made it look so damn easy, Cody.
I know.
They've made it look so easy, and it's obviously not. It's extremely difficult. Look at these other fan bases and these other organizations.
I mean, they're franchises that don't even have a Super Bowl.
When you find the quarterback, it unlocks everything. And there's a lot of reasons this year why that wasn't able to happen. Patrick Mahomes, in crucial moments, of course, made some really, really bad decisions, including in this past game. Where they could have just taken 3 points and he threw a bad pass that was picked off. You know, this is the next iteration, if there is one, of being a dominant contender again, is going to look drastically different. And it may not, by the way, it may not be involved with Andy Reid as the head coach. Like, that's a reality. There is a chance. If it is something that's going to take longer than a year or two to retool and be a flat-out contender again, yeah, the next head coach... We may not even know the name of. Like, it may not be somebody that you're thinking. Everybody's thrown out names for years. That there might be some other young and up-and-coming coach that we don't even know exist, at least in Kansas City, at this point in time. I don't believe, like someone said, you can't say we'll never repeat this. I feel pretty damn confident saying the Chiefs are not replicating what they just did. Sorry. That's just crazy.
Patrick Mahomes has as many Super Bowl rings, or, you know, as, oh, I don't know, 2/3 of the NFL? Yeah. Like, I mean, the franchises, not the quarterbacks. Steelers, Patriots, 49ers, Cowboys, Giants, Packers are the only franchises with 4 or more Super Bowl rings. So he's tied with a few, and he's got everyone else beat. Like, for instance, the Eagles, a team that we consider to be a very good franchise. In their entire franchise's history, they have 2 Super Bowl rings. Patrick Mahomes got three during this run. Like, I will sit back and enjoy and appreciate it. Even now, I'm not going to just wait 20 years when, you know, my body's falling apart even worse than it is now.
It's been an insane run.
I'm appreciate it.
It's been an insane run that at some point, whether it was the Patriots or anybody else, ends up coming to an end. The question is, he's not 35 years old, so there's a chance there's another run at some point. There's just the reality that it's probably not happening, in my opinion, Cody. And the next year or so, because we already had questions about the roster moving forward. And now you add in the reality that there's a chance your quarterback next year is going to miss games already. So that's why I'm not completely writing off 2026 as like a can they make the playoffs thing. But as a legit contender to win a Super Bowl, yeah, I think that's extremely unlikely in 2026. And so that means you're talking about at least a year gap. If not more, and so much is going to be predicated on Brett Veach's ability to draft and whether or not this coaching staff, Andy Reid, is willing to adapt a little bit. If not, it's going to be a different regime that's going to have to do it down the road. These are all, to me, fair conversations to have. We always do this after they win Super Bowls, Cody. You know, over, under, 2.5 more rings or 3. Let me ask you the question today. As you sit here fresh off the injury, fresh off all the issues that they have, if I said right now, though, in Patrick Mahomes' career, I hope it's all in Kansas City, by the way, Patrick Mahomes' career, over under a half Super Bowl ring the rest of his career, are you taking the over or the under? And I just simply can't take the under.
For a half, it's over. I don't even think.
One and a half.
For 1.5.
I'd have to take the under.
I'd take the over. I don't. I don't know. It's so hard because...
Well, you don't know. You don't know so many factors.
A huge part of this, and because I think this matters, the
who's
second...
the head coach? The next
that's
who's the next head coach down the road? Whether that's 2 years from now or 5 years from now.
I think the second most important thing besides quarterback in the NFL before defensive end, running back, wide receivers coach. Mm-hmm. I think the coach matters.
Sure.
I think if Andy Reid was the coach of Josh Allen, they would have already won Super Bowls.
I agree.
Maybe plural, but at least
one. I think Lamar would have one as well.
At least one. And so coaching matters. And so if you could promise me that Sean McVay's long-term plan is to ride out his contract in L.A., and then he's going to like, oh, Patrick Mahomes? Ooh, baby. And he's going to slide on over? Well, then fine. I'll take the over 1.5. I think I'd take the over 1.5 just knowing the greatness. But it's, I don't, I'm not saying it's a prudent investment, but
now over 1.5, you know,
it'd be hard.
Now, Super Bowl appearances, that's a different thing. Over,
oh, yeah, that's
over,
yeah. I wouldn't think that hard about it.
Over
appearances.
2.5, over 1.5 appearances.
1.5, I'd take without thinking about it.
I think I would as well.
2.5, I get
three more. I mean, that's still an insane thing.
I'd probably take the over. I mean, I'd think about it, it'd be harder there. That's the line. Because if you say 4.5, it's like, oh, come on, I can't take over that. And if you say over 2.5 Super Bowls, it's like, I can't take over that right now if you're making me guess. But it's also like, I can't rule it out either. That's what I do
not,
kind of love about what this next era will be and what this previous era was.
I was just asking because there's no way I would bet against Patrick Mahomes ever getting back to a Super Bowl. There's no chance. I don't care what kind of odds you give me. There's no way. And and again, as I already acknowledged, they've made it look easy and it's not. And so there is a chance. We could be sitting here 7 years from now and they haven't returned. But I also think Patrick Mahomes is playing more than 7 more years. You know, that's the challenge with this. You're right about the head coach being a huge key to this, something we don't know. Because, like, Andy's not going to be the head coach 7 years from now. Okay,
and how good is the next head coach? I don't know.
It could, you know, we don't know how quickly that's going to happen. Is he have a year or two left, or is it 5 more? We just don't know the answer to that. We can get back to that particular question I posed to you later on in the show. As far as the injury itself to Patrick Mahomes, I feel like everybody in Kansas City kind of missed this. Are we reading too much into it? Last week, Patrick Mahomes was on the injury report with a knee injury. Full participant, though. And if you go back and look at his career or most quarterbacks, they will pop up during the season multiple times on an injury report,
sure,
fully practice. It's an NFL season. And now you're playing more games than ever. But did you guys catch, if you were watching at least the TV broadcast, if you weren't just listening on 96.5 The Fan, if you were listening to Kevin Harlan and Trent Green on CBS, I can't tell you how many times I heard Trent Green bring up, well, you know, he's been dealing with this knee injury. And we all knew he was on the injury report, but nobody was, like, Andy Reid wasn't ever really asked for weeks about Mahomes' knee. Patrick Mahomes, I don't think, was asked about his knee publicly that I can recall. And yet, during the broadcast, it's almost like they had information that it was way worse than we all did, which might be the case. And then to see an ACL injury happen in said game, I don't know. Did you guys think that was a little weird? How the way it was talked about, the knee injury, it was talked as if it's something we all should have been discussing for weeks.
So maybe we should have in retrospect, and it was a bigger deal. But here's the problem. I could come on here and we could try to make some false argument and be like, the Chiefs put Patrick Mahomes at risk. And they knew his injury was there, and it was a lost season, and you risked it all. I'm just telling you right now, having been around enough of these organizations, I dare you to try to tell Patrick Mahomes he got to sit the rest of the year because his knee hurts a little bit, and say, oh, sorry, I know your team technically has a chance to make the playoffs, but we won't be seeing you in the game, even though you're healthy enough to play. That was never gonna happen. Do I think that the bigger part of the issue is that Patrick Mahomes spent so much time this season having to run around, whether it be his own personal scrambling, as in he wasn't comfortable in the pocket, and last year's offensive line forced him into this run-heavy scheme and these issues that caused these problems, or the fact that the offensive line was hurt and that eventually caused the issue? Absolutely. Do I think that some of the team design might have sped up the possibility of this injury? Yes, because I know, Gold, you and I had a conversation off the air that was, I don't like that he has to run this much because then you constantly fear something bad is going to happen. Do I think that that is a part of it? Yes. Do I think the fact that he played in this game and he had a knee injury is the reason why he tore his ACL?
No.
But I do think that, like, the amount he ran this year just increased the likelihood that something bad would happen and eventually something bad did.
He ran more than ever. out of necessity a lot of times. Other times, I do think as the season went on, he got less and less comfortable just being in the pocket, even when it was a good pocket. And then in this particular game, remember, he had two practice squad players as his tackles. Let's just be real. I mean, that was the reality for him on Sunday.
And the week before wasn't any better.
You know, I think the weird thing with the injury, we'll have to just truly play this one out over the next year or so, is what you just described this year being for him and how much more he was running and bailing out of the pocket, sometimes out of necessity, other times just out of habit, really. Yeah. Do you think the injury will cause him to kind of, I don't know, hone back in on some of the things he was doing earlier in his career as well, which was, frankly, being a little more comfortable in the pocket and
choosing his spots when they run?
Yeah. I mean, does that cause you, do you feel you'll protect yourself more? Because I do think at times, Cody, he was bailing and running out of the pocket way too often.
He just got asked 2 weeks ago. I think it was Sam McDowell. I'll give him credit. I think it was him. 2 weeks ago, he got asked, hey, now that you know that your team is in a dire situation, do you plan on
play more aggressive
using your legs the way you do in the playoffs in order to make this happen? And his answer was yes. So I still think it's a balance. To me, it's more about the weapons around you. Make it so he doesn't have to run. Shore up any question you have on the offensive line. Make right tackle better. Have an actual running game that he wants to hand the ball off to. Give him a back that makes him think in an RPO situation it's actually worth the R part. Like, did you see the stats on the ground?
The predictability.
Make it so that it's worthy. Like, I don't think this is just on Mahomes to be like, hey, man, run less. Bail out of the pocket more. Sure, some of it's on him. But some of it is on the staff to give him the pieces around him so he doesn't feel like he has to.
That goes back to the running back conversation.
And having
a complimentary run game that, I know that sounds like old school or whatever, but as we already went through earlier in the show, go through the contenders or the playoff teams, frankly, in the AFC and the NFC right now, and just about all of them, maybe they all don't have star running backs, okay? You don't have 10 Saquon Barkleys, but they all have a legitimate running game with a fairly young back that you feel can be explosive.
All of those and running backs, were drafted in the fourth round or higher.
Yes.
I went back and looked at some of those.
Yeah.
Shocker.
We went through 12 teams that are likely to be in the playoffs, and every single one has a legit running back in some form or fashion, or a 1-2 punch that's legit, not a goal line, essentially
not a 1 yard guy, a guy who's like most running backs was good for a couple of years and now isn't.
Look, Isaiah Pacheco won multiple rings with this organization, and that's something he will always be remembered for, but he was completely shot. He's got nothing left.
And again, for the next three games,
Rashard
I'm not even kidding.
Smith has to play. That's the play.
Isaiah Pacheco borderline wouldn't touch the ball. Like, Rashard Smith.
Find out if there
are 20 carries a game, Rashard Smith should get all 17 of them except for the ones that are 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. You want to try to win? You still care about that? Ain't he fine? You want to give the goal line carry to Kareem Hunt? Whatever. You should try to win games. That's your job as a coach. Whatever. All the other in-between carries. It is Brett Veach's job to convince Andy Reid that it's not just about winning these final three games, but an evaluation of who we are as a roster and what we are as a team. And that starts, and they gave a couple of carries to Rashard Smith. They were all pitches. Is he allowed a handoff under center up the middle?
Now that you're out, you have no choice but to see what you have.
This is where I think, and this is probably a deeper conversation we can get into, throughout the entire offseason. It felt for the first time, we've talked so much with the success of this organization, top to bottom, the synergy that they've had, right? From Clark Hunt to on the business side, obviously, with Mark Donovan and Brett Veach to Andy Reid and Andy Reid down to Spags and Matt Nagy, et cetera. And in previous years, we would say the same thing about going way back with Doug Peterson and Eric Bieniemy. The synergy there between front office and coaching. And I think for the first time that there clearly is at least some disconnect in disagreement on personnel/coaching. Like, for example, Ashton Gelati should have been playing a hell of a lot more a lot sooner. And I'm not just saying that because he had an interception yesterday. But that was a great catch by him.
Big pick, I think, as Kevin Harlan put it, and said he's a big man.
With a lot of hair. That was a great, Kevin Harlan's great.
I miss getting some of the side crews.
So
I like.
do you agree, though, like with some of these young players, the disconnect, front office providing some young players, coaching staff late in the year, desperation time, and still not playing certain guys until now. This applies to Noel Williams. This applies to Gelati.
Rashard Smith.
You know, I agree with Jalen Royals. There was just no room to put him on the field. Yeah, they had like wide receivers were healthy. Like you can argue the first 2 weeks of the season or whatever.
But same thing with Bosa at linebacker.
Some of those guys, there was no room to play them. But Noel Williams and Gelati, you know, there seemed to be a disconnect of what the coaching staff wanted to get and the lack of trust maybe that existed there. I don't know.
No, there's constantly a disconnect. And that's been a continued issue, obviously, and they kind of get stuck.
Like Elijah Mitchell's another example. I'm not saying he would have been amazing, but they signed him. Front office signs him in the offseason. The dude was active one time, just collected a check all season. Didn't do a damn thing.
Nope.
And it's not even a shot at him. I'm like, if him, I would be very frustrated. They signed me and I didn't even get an opportunity. This rushing attack wasn't like amazing, and yeah, I couldn't get on the field.
The only player they seemed to agree on was Simmons. Drafted him high, started him immediately. That's pretty much it. But this is a more than 1 year thing. It does seemingly take the coaching staff a lot longer to come around. And there's times we understand it, right? Felix Anudike-Uzomah, they said Brett Veach said he was a project essentially from day one. Yeah. So I didn't expect him on the field immediately. But Ashton Gelati was, you talked about needing defensive line help. You watched Charles Omenihu struggle. How many weeks in a row does he have to struggle for you before you're willing to see if a young player can do something? I'm sorry that in a practice, he doesn't do every little thing right, and you're worried he's going to, but there's no way to know that they'll handle the thing in the game the correct way unless you actually play him.
To your guys' point, too, we're talking about, it's not like we're, like, Rashard Smith obviously is a seventh-round pick, but Ashton Gelati was picked in the third round, and he's just now getting more round. Like, Noel Williams, same deal. He was picked with the Snead, extra pick that you got. Like, the fact that the third round, because third-round picks play, some start for teams. In the third round, in the first couple weeks of the season. I mean, it took them till what is it, week 13, 14 now?
15 coming up.
And we've been begging for Noel Williams to see more than anything else, I think, and Rashard Smith.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I understand the disconnect, Gold. It is frustrating, but yeah, it feels like there could be improvement there.
Coming up next, I want to talk about the other decisions that now have to happen when you know your quarterback is going to be rehabbing from a torn ACL. And we're talking even about what Gardner Minshew down the stretch means. As weird as it, not for this year, but I'm talking about, like, would he be a candidate to be your week one starter if, in fact, that is what is needed? We'll do that and find out from an expert on the timeline of this injury, reoccurrence, all that kind of stuff. Aaron Borgman, former NFL trainer, joins us next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.